Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it's Saturday morning. Is it a good Saturday morning? Well, it could have been worse, but it could have been better. Good morning, everybody. Well, we got some good activities taking place today, and it looks like as far as Louisiana and Mississippi, Alabama, and actually the Florida Panhandle, we have dodged a little bit of a bullet as far as Tropical Storm Nestor, but it has caused some high water problems. If you're going to be headed out, be cautious. I'm getting reports of water not only in parking lots of marinas, but also there's a possibility you'll find water crossing roads. In particular, if you're headed down to St. Bernard Parish, I did talk to Robbie Campo a little earlier this morning. The Florissant Highway had water running across it, not deep, but it was crossing. By my calculations, high tide there is not till about 6. So the tide is still rising, got a north wind. It's going to fall out of there pretty quick later, but be cautious. You know, a lot of these roads are unlit, and if there's no barricades or police car lights or warnings, you could end up in with some problems. So be careful wherever you're driving. Also down in Venice, got a big fishing rodeo going on for the kayakers called Fallen Tide. They might want to change the name of it to Rising Tide. I know they got some high storm tides down in that part of the coast. We've got a live report coming up a little bit later on from Brendan Bayard. As far as I know, the tournament is a go. In fact, there's a pretty good turnout, I believe, down there. Also, we have a celebration taking place at the Big Branch Marsh National Wildlife Refuge. It's on Highway 434 in Lacombe. It begins at 9, ends at 4. Absolutely free. Give you tours of the National Wildlife Refuge there called Big Branch, and you can get information on all of our National Wildlife Refuges across the state. We got hunting seasons open. The bow season for deer are just about statewide. Small game, dove reopened this week if you're a dove hunter. I had a really busy week. Among other things, I went to the Star Awards Banquet, CCA's tournament in Baton Rouge. I got to meet 8-year-old Taylor Hancock. I want to congratulate her. She won a boat, motor, and trailer. That's right, 8 years old. She's got a new outboard, a Mercury outboard on a flatboat plus a trailer. She won it for catching the biggest flounder. All the winners were honored there. A lot of prizes given out. Also, appeared as a guest speaker at a get-together at Possum's Camp in St. James Parish. Boy, what a nice little place, and had a great time talking to those folks with the Louisiana Sugar Refinery. Well, I also got results to tell you about from last weekend's ladies-only fishing rodeo. That was in Grand Isle. Had some nice fish caught despite some pretty tough weather on the last day. If you're going to be fishing or hunting, we'll tell you all the things you need to know. Where does that information come from? Mostly from our staff of field reporters who will be checking in with us periodically. But it also comes from a lot of you that text not only your fishing and hunting reports, but also your questions and comments. You text them live to 870-870. We love to hear from you. We also have a new radio photo up. If you were listening a couple of weeks ago, our bad boy, the outdoors, was the character who decided to steal the rods and reels out of the back of a pickup truck that was supposed to be used for prizes for a wounded veteran's fishing rodeo. We got his picture up. The title of it is A Face to Go with the Story. Check that out on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. You're going to find a lot of other interesting stuff there. And, yes, we do have another bad boy story. This week, two North Louisiana guys used a thermal scope on an AR-15 to kill a trophy buck. And I'm going to be asking you after you hear the story, what is it that makes people go to expensive, time-consuming, and very risky lengths to bag a trophy animal? Also, a report from Operation Game Thief. We'll talk about some of the cases that began with anonymous tips. You hear about them every week. We'll tell you how much reward money was paid out to some of those informants. All that's coming up, plus we got the Coastal Marine forecast for you. Here's what it looks like. For Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama coast, no, rain looks like it's moved off to the east, but you're going to be left with some residual winds, pretty stiff, north 15 to 25. About 6-foot seas offshore. Doesn't look like anybody's going to go get those bonus snapper today. That's for today. Tomorrow, northeast to south, it's going to be switching back. 10 to 15. Seas calming down to about 3 feet. Inside waters today, northwesterly 10 to 15 with a moderate chop. Tomorrow, southerly winds 5 to 10, smooth conditions. If you get my drift, tomorrow going to be a much better day to fish. But I know a lot of you can only fish on certain days. If you got to go today, just be careful out there with those high tides. Deal with it and do the best you can. Average tide, got a big tide range, full foot and a half. We'll be right back and take you down there to St. Bernard, get Robbie Campo to update us on the flooded road conditions and also what it looks like in the parking lot of Campo's Marina. All that's coming your way in the next 2 hours right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we talked to Robbie Campo at Shell Beach. We normally get a fishing report, which we will have for you, but I think we need a traffic report from Robbie this morning. The high tides, the storm surge that kind of pushed in has put a lot of water over some roads, particularly down there in St. Bernard Parish. A lot of these roads are unlit. There's low shoulders and can be extremely dangerous for driving during before daylight hours. Robbie, what can you tell us about the roads down in St. Bernard, particularly on the way to Shell Beach?
Well, Don, when you coming down that Forest Horn Highway, where you get where kind of civilization ends and you get that dark stretch coming towards that old White Classic gas plant, it's crossing the road there. It's probably maybe an inch or two deep, but nevertheless, if you don't know it and you're coming down here, you could hydroplane and wind up either in the ditch or the bayou. So take caution. I did call the sheriff's office this morning. Told them the situation, and it's supposed to be having a unit come there where they put that little makeshift levee. I made the parish president aware of this also this morning, so they know about it. So, but you know, just be careful coming down here. It's not deep, but it is on the highway. So, and it's on there about maybe 6 or 7 spots that it's crossing the road. So, if you're coming down, like I said, if you're coming down here. Let me just reiterate on this, is be careful, slow down, don't be in a hurry. My parking lot, for the most part, is underwater. it's one of these things, but you know what? We'll have some good salt water after this is over with, I'm sure. So, you got to take the bad, the good with the bad with the good. I guess, you know, we're just going to, look, we're just going to take it stride and just go with it. I tell you, but as far as fishing goes, Don, fall fishing is on. We have a fall feel-like weather to the air this morning. It's, you know, it's 60-ish degrees this morning, so it's beautiful outside. The wind is blowing out of the northwest. It finally did shift out of the northwest, so I anticipate this water starting to go down here soon. But with that said, you know, your typical fall fishing spots – if you like to fish that Lake Amity area, that Hopedale Lagoon, Lake Amita, Lake Robin, Lake Coquille, if that's your area to fish in, you know, if you like to fish in fall, start fishing it. I've even had reports where they caught trout this past week up in the Delaco area, you know, Petain Lagoon going up to the graveyard. So, you know, if you like fishing that area, start fishing it because it's happening. If you like fishing the Stump Lagoon area, Muscle Bay, Lake Eugene area, all the way back to Bob's Lakes, Bay Maroon, in the ship channel here from Lena Lagoon on the other side of the dam, you know, slap up to Verrett, it's happening. So I had some guys go out yesterday, got 38 trout and 13 freshwater cats in a drum, and it was nasty. So another boat went, they had 30 trout. And 3 reds. So, I mean, you know, even in the worst of conditions, because yesterday was pretty nasty, you know, they caught fish in this weather. So I'm not telling you to fish in it today if you don't want to, but I'm just saying the fall fishing is on. I think tomorrow is going to be a better day. Live shrimp under a cork. But if you want to come out today, please be careful coming down here. Make a left at that bridge and come on and see us. We've got plenty of live bait, and we'll get you put overboard. We'll assist you getting your car parked and all this other good stuff, and get you fishing if that's what you want to do today. So, like I said, make a left at that bridge and come on and see us. We're waiting on you.
All right, Rob, if between now and the time we go off the air, if you get any updates on some of those road closings, perhaps, or anything gets worse, give us a call back and let us know.
I will do that, Don. I promise you, I will do that. All right, well, all right. I got dates count and people waiting, so I'll talk to you next Saturday.
Sounds good, Rob. Thanks so much for updating.
All right, all right. Bye-bye.
All right, Robbie Campo down at Shell Beach. All right, you heard it. It's some roads there getting water across them, not deep. They were passable last report. But if you're going to be driving down there while it's dark in particular, take your time. And if you see some water on a road, it's not rainwater. That's tidal flow. And it's coming across, and it may not go down for quite a while. But hopefully it will by this afternoon. And tomorrow should be really a pretty day. And he's right. Fall is in the air, no question about it. All right, I got some text messages coming. We got people going everywhere, going to do a lot of things. We'll tell you what's up with them. If you'd like to text us at 870-870, we'll be right back after this time out. You are listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. So, are you good at cooking chicken wings? I'm good at judging them. In fact, I've got another judging assignment coming up on Sunday, November 3rd in Old Town Slidell. It's a it's a block party for Warrior Wing Cook-Off. I've been going there for the past couple of years, and boy, I tell you, they got some really excellent cooks. If you've got a team and you want to participate, this raises funds for Bringing Home. It's for the servicemen and their families. Go to bihns.org. And they'll be giving out first-place trophies and some cash prizes. And if you want to come out there between 11 and 3, you can kind of help me judge, sample them yourself. I think they have a People's Choice Award, too. Team entry fee is only $150. That does include your chicken wings. All right, Grand Isle Ladies Fishing Rodeo took place back on last weekend, and I got the results in. Let's see, the Ladies Fisherette went to Hannah Miller. The girls' fisherette was J.C. Bilkowitz, and the biggest non-categorical fish was Chelsea Smith. The best team costume award was the team Rolling for a Cure, and Eve McElveen was the winner of the bra competition. Now, as far as the fishing, Lisa Abert took first place with a rat red 7.52, a bull red, this was a huge one, 29.26, Tina Delcrum, Stephanie Glasser, 6.32 sheephead, Myra Wilkes, 3.58 on the flounder. Tanya Douay had a gaff top, 6.98. Raven Plaisance, 8.26 on a mangrove. The big fish was Chelsea Smith, 26.06. Not sure what that was. Could have been a jack. Cobia went to Hannah Miller, 41.9. Christy Campbell, speckle trout, 4.14. And Black Drum, Megan Long, 34.34. The children's division, Michael Tate, 4.68 in the speckle trout. Cadence LeBlanc, 7.26, redfish. J.C. Bilkowitz, 5.6 on the catfish. Cadence LeBlanc, 1.64 on flounder. And Emma Cormier, 3.76 on the sheephead. Very respectable ladies, and I understand they had a big turnout. Raised a lot of funds. Big success. All right, wanted to update you on the recreational red snapper season. You know, this thing goes almost week to week. We keep tabs on it. It was scheduled to be open this weekend, and it is actually opened up yesterday, and it will be open through tomorrow night. But maybe tomorrow snapper waters will be fishable, but today probably not a lot of people going out. Then next weekend there's also a three-day period, Friday through Sunday, where you can fish for red snapper. And then any overage or underage that we still have to catch off of our quota will be given out to veterans. And there's a permit necessary for that. If you go to Wildlife and Fisheries, you can find that. All right, let's see. We got some text messages coming in. Let's see, who's first? Looks like our friend the Lafayette Yacker. He says, morning, he's down at Fallen Tide. The road is underwater. Need a good weather report for the wind and tide. There's a good crowd, over 100 anglers, no boudin, sorry, but lots of coffee. That's from our friend the Lafayette Yacker. Then we have JT from Bogalusa. He's headed back from his New Mexico elk hunt. Two in the group of four bagged a cow each. He had opportunities on two bulls, but only had a cow tag. Isn't that the way, huh? It always happens. He's going to send photos when he gets home. Don't forget, you can't send the photos to this text. Send them to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. com, and you'll find the contact button there, and you can email them. Would probably be the best way. And while you're there, cast your vote on our opinion poll. Question change for this month, and we're asking you this question. You got a coyote, shows up before you've seen a deer. You're on your deer stand. Do you shoot it or do you not shoot it? Now, before you answer, read the story that's associated with that. Click the icon on the bottom underneath the picture of the coyote and read that story. It may change your mind. There's a lot of controversy, and when we have a lot more time on another show, we're going to talk about that in detail. Coyotes, yeah, do you shoot them from your deer stand or do you let them walk? All right, also got a coming up the Quail Forever, the Chaffalaya Region chapter. They're having a banquet October 24th at the City Club of Baton Rouge on North Boulevard, and it's $125 for the dinner. That includes a year membership, and you can find out more information and get your tickets at quailforever.org. They are a chapter of the National Quail Forever organization. Got a great dinner planned, live auctions, fundraisers, you know the drill. And it opens at 6 p.m., dinner's at 7. The auction begins at 8 o'clock. Again, it's at the City Club of Baton Rouge on North Boulevard in Baton Rouge. Something else that's coming up, this should be very interesting to see how this turns out. I talked to Jack Payne over at Sweetwater Marine in Delacro not long ago. He has set up what he hopes to become an annual event called the Battle Between the Bayous. And it's going to be on Saturday, November 2nd. That's in a couple of weeks. All Louisiana private, public, and Catholic school alumni are invited to fish. The top eight get cash prizes, and there'll be a check to the first place winner's school of their choice. It's $50 to enter per person. And if you go to Facebook at First Annual Battle Between the Bayous Fishing Rodeo or the tournament page, if you go to DelacroFishing.com, you'll find out registration and a whole lot more information. Hopefully that'll work out. Sounds like a lot of fun. All right, we'll be back to have some more fun. Got some more text messages. Old Pickles headed out to Henderson. Oh, these morning nicknames on Saturday. You got to love them. We'll be back to tell you more about who's texting in. Got some fishing reports coming up. Kirk Stansel will be with us. Brendan Bayard, he's down at that Fallen Tide tournament in Venice. I'm going to change it to Rising Tide this morning. We're back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, also, I was mentioned about the opinion poll that we do. Each month we change it up and we kind of get some reaction from our listeners, and we give you the – you can actually find out how your fellow listeners are voting. This week we're talking about that coyote shooting from your deer stand. And right above that on the homepage, and this is at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, we've got a video there, and it's asking the question, where are the ducks? You know, last year in Louisiana we had our worst duck season since they've been keeping – records, about 500,000, and we used to be the leader in the nation on the number of waterfowl that were harvested. Well, there's a lot of controversy and speculation about why that is, and a lot of it has to do with practices that are considered by some to be baiting, others to be legal to attract and hold waterfowl north up the northern part of the flyway. And there's some very compelling video and statistics, and I invite you, when you got about 30 minutes, it's pretty long, click it on and listen to it and watch it. If you're a duck hunter and you're concerned about the future of waterfowl hunting, take a look at that. And that's one of the topics we're going to be addressing in some of the coming weeks. We're going to have some special guests coming on to talk about that. I'm considering it's almost at a crisis stage in Louisiana as far as where we were with waterfowl hunting, where we are now, and what the future looks like. And it's high time that whatever we can do about it, that we do. All right, we're going to pause 10 seconds here for our stations to identify themselves. When I come back, got some more text messages from you, our listeners, at 870-870. We'll do that. But first, we'll let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque. All right, we have a text message here from Bradley. Bradley and Rachel are our Sockelet fishing couple. He says, Rachel's in Texas on a turnaround, but today he's got old Pickle with him. Headed out to Henderson, going to try out the Crappie Psychic's newest product, the Petite Minnow. He's had success with them, but now that he's showing them, and again, my text board jumps when it gets long. Let's see if we can bring it up here and see. He's got me in suspense now. about this petite minnow. He says that when he shows it to friends and tournament anglers, the word is starting to spread. These things are lethal to sockeye. That, of course, the crappie psychic is Clyde Foltz, and Clyde and I have done some TV shows together. He's been on this radio program, and he has a system called the crappie psychic baits, and the petite minnow, I don't think I've seen that yet. I'm going to have to check that out. All right, here's one coming in, wants to know, do you know of anywhere I can get a dove hunt during the weekdays? Well, you know, paid dove hunts are done on huge fields, generally on opening day and on weekends, because it usually takes a lot of people to keep the birds moving. That doesn't mean that you can't do some pretty decent dove hunting on your own. I call it freelancing for doves, and there's a story on my website. If you go to my articles, you'll probably find that. My suggestion is on WMA's public property, but make sure you check the regulations, because some of them close the dove seasons. They're different than what the state season might be. Even though it's open on private land, it may not be open on the public lands. And then do a little bit of scouting. Generally, this time of year, if you're going to hunt doves, you probably need to hunt them in the afternoon. Remember that legal shooting time stops at sunset on migratory birds. It's not one half hour after. And try to catch a spot where they're flying from a feeding area to a roost. And a lot of times, clear cuts will be good areas to set up on. Possibly, if you belong to a hunting club, you can find some dove hunting on a deer club if they allow that on the club. Maybe somebody out there's got some ideas about getting a dove hunt during the weekdays, but that would be my suggestion. Is look, that we do have a few wildlife management areas that have specifically planted food plots, and although the big days are on the dove opening day, still it remains open on some of them for a while, and you can, you know, bag a few doves. You're not going to, you know, get your 12 or 15 birds, but, you know, you can certainly get 5 or 6 on a good hunt. All right, we have someone that is headed to Talisheek for a bow hunt. Not a bad morning for bow hunt. It's going to be a little windy, but back in the thick woods up in the piney areas, it should be okay. Here's another bow hunter going out to Ethel. Beautiful day, and good luck to everyone. That's Mike Hubbs. Yeah, Mike, this is the time of the year when you get that little fall feel to the weather. Yes, indeed. It's time to get out there. All right, here's one that says, Don, was this the kind of storm that will flush pot-bellied storm minnows out? If so, how long does a storm minnow rush last? Yes, this is, and I would say they're actually, technically, they're known as gobies, and it's a little minnow that lives down in the mud. You hardly ever see them, but high storm tides bring them out, and it sets fish and even birds into a feeding frenzy, and they call them storm minnows because when you get a storm that pushes in high tides, that's when they become prevalent. It does not last long. You got to get out there and get them, because as soon as the water recedes, they kind of vanish again. Here's a question. Are Delacro roads underwater? Robbie said that the water is closer on a road that he saw was on the Florissant Highway, which is the Shell Beach side. I have not gotten any reports yet that Delacro Highway is underwater. If anyone has been down there or any of the marina operators that might be listening, call us at the station. You can reach my producer, and he'll pass that along. It's 504-260-1870. Or text me the information if you have any information on Delacro Roads in St. Bernard Parish. Let's see. We got another one here. This is from, says, first day of the year on the deer stand, an hour early, ready to get it. Good, always good to be on your stand early. That's from the old Colonel in Redwood, Mississippi. Good luck to you, Colonel. And we got a thanks to the Campos for the help past Monday and Tuesday. They put us on fish both days. Reds, trout, live shrimp in the bottom, and under a cork. That's from one of our Baton Rouge listeners. Well, that's what Robbie does. That's what he's in business to do, not just to sell you bait and launch a boat. He can steer you in the right direction because he's right there on the spot. He gets the information, and that's why we have Robbie on this program, to pass it along. All right, coming back after this, we're going to head out west, see if we can catch up with Captain Kirk Stansel out at Hackberry Rod and Gun. Let's get an update on Big Lake, Calcasieu, find out what's happening there. And are the ducks showing up? Are they experiencing the high tides on that side of the state as we are on the east? We'll find out right after this timeout on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And that music tells us it's time to talk to Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk Stansel with Hackberry Rod and Gun out in the Big Lake area. Kirk, looks like this tropical storm Nestor kind of gave us a glance and blow on the eastern side of the state. Have you guys experienced any surges or anything on that end?
Oh, we have some high tides, but no wind. I mean, no wind to speak of at all. I mean, it's been nice, and the fish are biting.
That's great. Where are some of the spots where they've been catching them?
Pick a spot. They're all over. I mean, there's birds working. All the reefs are holding trout. The flounder started their run up and down the ship channel. And redfish are in the marshes. It's just kind of whatever you want to do. It's been happening. It's been going on for about 2 weeks now. Yeah. I mean, the trout aren't big. They're bigger than they were. I mean, you know, we were catching a lot of just barely keepers. And now all the fish are, you know, seem to be running anywhere from 14 to 17 inches.
That is some good news. You guys have been waiting for a while for this.
Is
it mostly on live bait or?
No. I mean, we're catching artificial and live bait. You know, pick your poison. I mean, it's on. It's typical October fishing.
Very good, very good. So do you think these high tides are going to affect the feed in the marshes for the duck season? We're getting pretty close to it now.
Yeah, we are getting close. You know, it depends, you know, if how long it settles in. You know, the water is still – it's not real salty right now. On up in the estuaries back in the marshes, it's not just the channel – is running about 12 parts per thousand. So once you get further back in the marshes, you know, it's fresher. So, you know, as long as this doesn't hang around too long, we'll be okay.
Yep. So are you seeing some waterfowl showing up?
Not much, no. I mean, it's not seeing, you know, normally we see straggling blue wings. They're haven't seen them, and I've only seen, you know, just a handful of gray ducks. That's been it.
Yeah, well, it's going to take a couple fronts maybe to bring them on down.
Oh, yeah, I'm not ready for them to show up. They'll eat everything out if they show up too early.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, it'll be opened up real soon, and then you do the cast and blast numbers. Boy, it's a great time. You feel it in the air. You can feel it change. You know, we finally got the fall.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks like the fish are reacting to it, too.
Oh, they really are. It's, you know, it's the best fishing we've had all year. Without a doubt.
That's really good news. All right, so would you suggest fishing north end, south end? Maybe all over, as you say?
Wherever you're comfortable fishing. I mean, we got guys going out. They've been fishing Turner's Bay. Some fishing the east side of the lake. Some in West Cove. I mean, they're just some going in the marshes and Black Lake. And they're all catching fish. Just, they're everywhere.
Very good. Well, let's hope this continues on through the fall and into the wintertime, and, you know, we get some ducks on top of it, and life will be good. Life will be good.
And life will be real good, no doubt.
Kirk, tell us how people can get in touch with you, because a lot of folks are making their plans now for blast and cast, and you got some openings. Tell them how to fill them.
We sure do. It's numbers 888-762-3391, hackberryrodandgun.com.
Camera working on the dock?
The camera is working. They can tune in today. If they go to our website and log in, you can see our live cam. Probably starting about noon when everybody's been coming in lately with, you know, a lot of fish.
All right. Sounds good, Kirk. Save a spot now for me and Martha. We need to come make another one of those trips with you. We had a lot of fun down there.
All right, Kirk. I did too, so let's do it again. Okay.
You got it.
All right, see you.
See you next time. Captain Kirk Stansel taking us where some men have never been before. He's been there a lot. All right, let's see. I had a road update here. Let me get to that real quick before I get into the break. And that was saying, let's see, on the road before the drawbridge to Hopedale, a couple of low spots, 2 or 3 inches of water, very passable, just take it slow. Yeah, that's kind of that same area Robbie was talking about. Nothing on Delacro. Looks like it's clear. All right, back with more text messages and a report from Grand Isle coming up from Captain Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. And then we're going to talk to Mike Gallo later on, tell you about our latest bad boy of the outdoors, and a whole lot more stuff you and I love to talk about each and every Saturday morning. We do it right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I want to thank the listener who called in and told us that the Delacroix Highway is clear. It's open all the way down to the marinas. There are some water crossing the roads on the way to Shell Beach, but it's only 2 to 3 inches. It is passable. Just be careful when you're headed that way. But those of you concerned about Delacroix, it's a go. All right, let's talk to Captain Darryl Carpenter, RioScreamers.com. Let's get the Grand Isle perspective on things. Darryl, that storm kind of hit us a glancing blow. What happened when it came as close as it was to Grand Isle?
Well, Don, the problem we had with this storm was that for some reason or another, I guess those persistent south-southeast winds, is our tides have been high for the last 2 weeks. So when this storm, I think our winds probably maxed out at 25, 30 miles an hour, but it was as it approached, it was a consistent east component to that wind. It flooded pretty good. I think I looked at the tide gauge a little while ago. Tide gauge topped out at nearly 3 feet around midnight last night. It's down to about 2.3 right now, but that still puts water on the roads. And I can't speak, and maybe you can tell me about the Delacroix Highway, but the thing is, you get south of that Golden Meadow floodgate, and any little bit of that water that you drive through is pure seawater. It's salt water. So it's not really good for your vehicles. I would presume at this point, probably the road between Grand Isle and Fouchon is probably passable, but it's got some hard flowing water on it and maybe a little bit of debris. A couple of spots on that LA-1 prior to Fouchon is probably the same condition. Once you get on the Grand Isle, nearly all of the, Highway 1's got some water on it. It's passable. It's mostly on the shoulders and stuff. But all of the back roads are flooded, and you're gonna be putting. Just be careful if you've got to travel it. Number one, you're traveling in salt water. Number two, like in my situation, if a car came down the street right now, it's putting water in my shed. So just same thing with a boat. If you should happen to get out in boats today, be real mindful of those no wake zones when you get close to the island, because as long as that water's high, it's going to put water on somebody. Your wake has got to go on somebody. Right now, we're talking about people's real property,
That's all great information, Darryl. Thank you for passing that along. With these winds are projected to go to northwest at some point and then back around again to the south. But with that tide falling and as big a range we have, and it's got a little bit of west in that wind, and water should be falling out of there. So maybe by later this afternoon, for sure tomorrow, should be some fishable days. How's the trout fishing been before we got all this water? Or is the tides just scattered the fish around?
No, we've been in full transition. I mean, the transition has happened. The aggravating thing with the trout right now, the transition's happened, but the water's been high. So the trout have moved back into the back bays and up north, into the Manila villages and the government reef areas and all of this stuff. The problem is with that water being as high as it was, it gave them the opportunity to go wherever they wanted. So you'd find you a school of fish, you'd fish around, you'd find you a school of fish, you'd get on fish for two or three days. You had speckled trout ganged up. We're starting to see a few more flocks of birds too. Let me throw that in there. But your fish would gang up. You'd have them in a particular area on a reef or something like that. You go back day three and they're gone. So then you got to start the process all over again. You got to start looking around and trying to find them. They seem to be moving progressively further north whenever it happens. So, all the way up. And I got some reports from some of my guys out of Lafitte that they just smoking them up in DuPont and so in other places. As they move, they're kind of filtering into that marsh. We were catching a lot of fish on points, a lot of fish over grass beds, as opposed to what we normally do, our oyster reefs and so forth. So that's the problem right now. What we need is, and we may get it this week, because I think we got another cold front coming Monday. We need something to come down and get these tides back to normal, something to get us some exposed banks, something to where we're actually going to have defined waterways instead of just, hundreds of thousands of acres of flooded marsh.
Yeah, same thing on the redfish, too. They can kind of get up in that grass and go and scatter and get hard to find.
Oh, Don.
Storm minnows. Somebody brought up. Go ahead.
No, we were fishing last week, and we were trout fishing, and we were fishing a flock of birds. And while the flock of birds were up close to the bank, you could just hear those redfish crushing in that marsh. And I'm like, okay, so as this bite dies down, we're going to get those redfish. got up in these little cuts, and, man, we just could not find them. I mean, just – I mean, you could hear them explode, and you couldn't see the ripples or anything. Finally, I decided I was going commando on them, and I put the trolling motor in tiller mode and got up in there. And when I did, I brushed up against some of that grass. And, Don, you would have sworn I spooked a herd of baby Nutra rats. That grass just exploded. All those redfish were 2-3 feet up in that grass. I mean, it seriously looked like Nutra rats running through the marsh, and it was redfish. But anyway, you were talking about storm menace.
Yeah, have you seen them yet, or could this be the thing that spurs them on to get them up, get them out?
Oh, we've seen them off and on, Don, with these floods that we've had. We're even catching, I mean, when we go buy menace from the store and so forth, you've got a few storm menace mixed in because they've just been everywhere with the Kakajo menace. I would imagine this one's gonna see an explosion of them. You're gonna see more of them. If I was downstairs and looking, I probably got a school or two of them swimming around under my house right now. But no, the tides have been that high. We've been seeing them periodically, but I would think as high as this one got, you're gonna see a lot of them here the next couple of days.
Good. That's some prime time fishing underneath those. Got a good tide range. Just got to get some of that water out of here, and things will be reaching a great, great fall and winter.
Oh, now just know that later on today, when that highway gets cleaner, you hit them bridges on Highway 1, and it ought to be a heyday on Highway 1 today.
Yes, indeed. Darryl, thanks for the report. They can find you and all the field reporters on my website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, RealScreamers.com, and the old telephone. Some people still use that. If they want to call you, what's the number?
225-937-6288.
Darryl, thanks for all the updates. We really appreciate it, my friend. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Don.
All right, coming up after the top of the hour break, Mike Gallo joins us. Brendan Bayard, we're going to get the Fallen Tide report from Venice. Bad Boys and Ryan Lambert and a whole lot more on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.